Thanks for listening to messages here at First Baptist Church Monticello. We are a multi-generational church in the panhandle of Florida that is committed to worshiping our great God, growing closer to Jesus Christ, serving God by serving others, and sharing the good news about Jesus Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit. Be sure to like us on Facebook and listen to our messages anytime on our website, fbcmonticello.org. Thanks for being part of our FBC family, and enjoy the message.
Well, good morning. You know, one of the nice things about having the same name as your pastor is you don't have to try and remember who it was that preached. Oh, yeah, Sean preached. So it's great to be back with you all again, and I will tell you this. I have grown to love your pastor tremendously. First of all, he's got a great name. But secondly, he's just such a class act and such a great man of God, and I'm so thankful that God brought him here to be with you here at First Baptist Monticello. And so this morning, by the way, just to clarify, no, my wife did not hit me, and no, it's not broken. Done some ligament damage and all that thing. It is ironic. Missy said we're going to sing We Fall Down as a closing this morning, so I think it is kind of ironic that we would have that song there. So anyway, just to get that out of the way, everybody wonders, so what'd you do to your arm? Well, I messed it up, so that's life. And as someone said, it's just a flesh wound. It's not a major ordeal. This morning we're going to be looking at the shortest book in Scripture. We're going to be looking at 3 John. In the easiest way, if you don't know exactly where it is, the easiest way is go to the back of your Bible and start coming forward. There's only Jude separates it from Revelation. It's all the way near the back. It's the third, we refer to it as the third epistle of John, written by John the Elder, which may be John the Baptist. We're not absolutely certain, but there are a lot of traits that are very similar to the Gospel of John, and so But there's a theme about this very, very short and brief letter. And I guess it all comes down to a question. Do we want to be like Gaius, Diotrephes, or Demetrius? And you go, well, I don't know who any of those characters are, so how do I know? Well, it's going to become very clear, very quickly, who you might like to be like and who you might not like to be like. I want you to think about someone who we often would refer to as a model church member. Think about the model church member. You know, it's the person that everybody wants to be like. It's the person who's faithful to Christ and his church. They're there basically every time the door opens, to coin the phrase. They're loving and they're considerate and compassionate. They're loved by everyone in the very same way that they love others. They put others ahead of themselves, and they seem to never have an agenda, never have a false motive about anything they do. They're respected both in the church and in the community. These are the guys, or I use guys, by the way, as a generic term. I have 4 daughters, and so I just use guys as generic, so it's either male or female. But these are the people that every pastor wants in his church. Then there are those on the opposite side. You know who they are. They're the ones that are disliked and pretty well disrespected by everybody in the church and outside the church. They're usually incredibly critical. They seem to always be stirring up conflict. They seem to have an agenda, usually personal, with about everything they do. They want to be in control. They've got to be in control. They're manipulative. They'll even get others to do their dirty work so that they don't look so dirty. They're probably not true followers of Christ, and most people outside the church would probably attest to that. But woe to the person who ever confronts them about that, because they'll tell you about the day they were baptized, or the day they joined the church. Yeah, these are the people that pastors keep on their guard. You know, the thing is, there's usually very few of these people in any given church. There's a small community in western Kentucky called Hartford. I know the community well. I used to pastor right near there. They have a, by the city limits sign at the entrance to Hartford, they have this sign that has been there for many, many, many years, and it was still there a little over a year ago because I passed through that area. It says, "Welcome to Hartford, home of 2,000 wonderful people and a few sore heads." You know what? That's the average Baptist church. There's not a lot of people who are in that bad side spectrum. When we think about the good side and the bad side, think about it in these terms. You know, one is to be praised, the other is to be warned about. One is obviously or gives every impression of being a true believer. The other is quite doubtful. One's a blessing to be around and to have in your company, and the other is a near constant source of fear and frustration. Well, there's three characters listed in 3 John that fit right in line with these two examples. Look with me at this brief letter. It says, "The elder, to my dear friend Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Dear friend, I pray that you may enjoy good health and that all may go well with you, even as your soul is getting along well. It gave me great joy to have some brothers come and tell about your faithfulness to the truth and how you continue to walk in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. Dear friend, you're faithful in what you're doing for the brothers, even though they're strangers to you. They have told the church about your love. You will do well to send them on their way in a manner worthy of God. It was for the sake of the name that they went out, receiving no help from the pagans. We ought, therefore, to show hospitality to such men, so that we may work together for the truth. I wrote to the church, but Diotrephes, who loves to be first, will have nothing to do with us. So if I come, I will call attention to what he is doing, gossiping maliciously about us. Not satisfied with that, he refuses to welcome the brothers. He also stops those who want to do so and puts them out of the church. Dear friend, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. Anyone who does what is good is from God. Anyone who does what is evil has not seen God. Demetrius is well spoken of by everyone, and even by the truth itself. We also speak well of him, and you know that our testimony is true. I have much to write you, but I do not want to do so with pen and ink. I hope to see you soon, and we will talk face to face. Peace to you. The friends here send their greetings. Greet the friends there by name." Let's pray. Father, thank you for the words of John. Thank you for the truth that he shares in this brief letter. Thank you for what we can learn from it. And I pray, Father, that this morning that you would use these words to encourage us, that we might know the truth, that we might walk in the truth, that we might live the truth in a manner which is reflective of Christ in us, that those that we come in contact with might see your glory through our lives, and not just through our words, but through them as well. And Father, I pray that you might use this time and these words to help us to have a clearer understanding of what it means to walk as a child of God, that we might bring honor and glory to Christ in all that we do. For it's in his name that we pray. Amen. This morning we're going to look at how the scripture defines these persons. And in fact, I'm going to do something that I don't normally do. Now, one of the most important aspects of scriptural interpretation is that you interpret scripture with scripture. I'm certain your pastor has referenced that to you. It's important that you verify and validate scripture with scripture. One of the things that false teachers do is they'll grab a passage and they'll throw it at you and they'll say, "Well, it means this without giving any verification. Well, this morning, please don't lump me as a false teacher, but this morning I'm going to let this scripture pretty well stand on its own. Because it's very clear from the words that John shares here, the point that he's trying to get across. And so as we look at this powerful letter, please understand, this was written to a specific church, but we don't know exactly which church that might have been. It was probably in what is present-day Turkey, possibly Ephesus, because this is where the Apostle John ministered. We do know that. But at the same time, we know it's possibly the most personal letter written in the New Testament. It's addressed to a dear friend. And it encourages this friend, but it also warns this friend about someone within their own church body that is divisive. It addresses the character of those who are part of the church, particularly Gaius, the recipient, Diotrephes, who's the nemesis of the church, but may possibly be the leader in the church, and Demetrius. He's the one who delivered the letter. So what is it we can learn from this? Well, let me ask you a question. Are you like Gaius? And by the way, Gaius was a very common term in the first century, very common name, very much like John or James or whatever. It was a very common name in that day. Are you like Gaius? Firstly, Gaius faithfully lived out the gospel. John tells him, calls him a dear friend who he loves in the truth, and he says, it brings me such joy to know about your faithfulness in the truth in verse 3, how you continue to walk in the truth, he says in verse 3, and that this is something that brings the apostle great joy. He was someone who faithfully lived out the gospel. If we claim to know Jesus Christ, we say that Christ has come into our life, he's forgiven us of our sin, he's created in us a new creature, a new creation, Scripture calls it. And Scripture says that we're to be living for Christ, and it ought to be something different about us. One of the things I say, I was a pastor for a long, long time before I became the head of our local Baptist association, and done a lot of funerals, way more funerals than I ever wished I did. And people would say, is it hard doing a funeral of someone who is not a believer? No, it's really not. See, what you do is it gives you a great platform to preach the gospel. Especially if it's a person who's not a believer, the family knows they're not a believer. And so you have a wide open opportunity to preach the gospel. It's also not hard to do the funeral of someone who has lived their life for Christ. It's been so evident who they are. And, the family, so often you'll hear someone say they're in a better place. Well, we do know they're with our Heavenly Father. But here's the one that's hard. It's the person that their whole life screamed, I cared virtually nothing about God. But their family will say when they were 9 years old during vacation Bible school, they prayed a prayer and they asked Jesus into their heart and they got baptized. Now they're 79 years old now, and for the last 70 years, God has meant virtually nothing to them, and everything else about their life has screamed, I could care less. But their family is going, oh, I know that they're in heaven. You see, as Baptists, we believe in eternal security. Yes, we do. We believe Scripture teaches very clearly. Once you receive Christ in your heart, that you cannot lose that salvation. Because Jesus said in John 6, I will never let go of anyone who comes into my hand, that the Father gives into my hand. The real question is, are you really in the Father's hand? That's the sad one. Gaius was someone who lived out the gospel. So when others look at you, would people who you work with, people who you associate with, the neighbor that's not the friendliest person in the world, the person that you're traveling behind down the highway who's going 5 miles under the speed limit and you're in a hurry? Would they say that you're living out the gospel? Yes, I'm going to make your confession. I'm so glad people can't hear me when I'm driving down the road. Not going to claim to have perfected the art of patience on the highway. But would people say that you come in contact with, they're living out the gospel? Gaius was. The second thing about Gaius is he showed hospitality to others. That ought to be the trait of a believer, is that we be hospitable. James talks about being hospitable. Peter talks about being hospitable. Paul referenced in Philippians and Ephesians about being hospitable. He said in verse 5 of 3 John, you're faithful in what you're doing for the brothers and sisters, even though they're strangers to you. You know, it's real easy to be nice and kind and generous to someone you know well. But what about those that you don't? I'm going to brag on my wife a little bit. She's not able to be here today. She's at our home church. She bugged me for 2 years that she wanted to have a time of fellowship for all of our neighbors in our neighborhood. We've lived in this house for 7 years now. She's been bugging me for 2 years. We need to have a chance to bring all the neighbors together in a non-confrontational, unassuming way, just because I think so many of our neighbors don't know one another. We'd made it a point to get to know, we live on a corner, and we've gotten to know all the people up in the cul-de-sac of the street that's next to us, and pretty much down about 5 or 6 houses either side of the street. It does help. We have a dog, a large dog. And our dog's out in the yard all the time. And when you have a dog that starts off as a puppy and neighbors watch the dog grow, everybody knows our dog. Go in my neighborhood and everybody knows who Henry is. Now, they may not know my name, but they know Henry. Most friendly dog in the neighborhood, really. So that helps. So she's been bugging me. So 3 weeks ago, we had an ice cream fellowship. We put flyers out. We did door-to-door to everybody in our neighborhood. We put flyers out. We invited about 35, 40 people. We had 26 people show up. Half our neighbors did not know each other. Just a time to get to know one another. And it opened, what the whole purpose is for future gatherings, because they've already said, we've got to do this again. For future gatherings, it's going to open the door for the gospel. But when people ask, so what do you do? And I told them what I did. So ones who didn't know, most of them, about half of them knew, was something, what do you do? And I told them, and they would look at Farrah and they would say, yeah, I could see that in you guys. I thought, whew. Wow. What a relief. Seriously. No, I'm not a perfect person. Please don't go there. I'm Irish. I have a little bit of a temper at times. But do you show hospitality to others? It was exciting to have 26 people in our house for ice cream. It was fun. It was exciting. By the way, it's an idea for you. Want to get to know your neighbors? When we moved to Fort Walton Beach in the fall of 2000, somebody told us anytime they call for a hurricane, buy ice cream. What? Buy a 1 gallon of vanilla and a gallon of chocolate, buy a whole bunch of plastic cups and bowls and a whole bunch of plastic spoons. We go, what? You see, when a hurricane hits, it's horrid. And we lived through Hurricane Ivan, and it was bad. We also lived through Hurricane Dennis a year later, and it was bad. And the day of the hurricane is horrid. But the day after, the sun is shining. It's perfect. Nobody has any power. People have debris all over the place, and people are not in a good mood. But you got to get rid of the stuff that's in your freezer. So you set up a card table. It was what we were told to do, and we did it. You set up a card table on your driveway. You bring out the ice cream. You bring out the bowls and the spoons, and you go around to everybody who didn't evacuate and say, come on over, let's have some ice cream. We did it. It was amazing. It was fun. And it brightened everybody's spirits up. Hospitality. The third thing about Gaius that we ought to consider. He generally supported those in ministry. Bill talked about giving before he prayed this morning. It says in verse 7, "For the sake of the name they went out, receiving no help from the pagans. We ought therefore to show hospitality to such people so that we may work together for the truth." He'd been praised in verse 5 about how he had helped the brothers, even those who he didn't love. We ought to be generous in supporting those in ministry. I realize you all have a mission church in New Orleans that you're supporting called One Church. Isn't it neat the Baptists can have church names without the word Baptist in it? And for those of you who are a little older than me that think that that's almost offensive, please don't be offended by it, because there are in a lot of communities that the word Baptist would shut the door. People, Baptists are well respected in some areas, and in some areas we're not. Part of that is our own doing, and part of it is just culture. So it's neat, we're part of a church in Tallahassee. I'm the world's worst church member. I'm never there because I'm in places like here every week. Our church doesn't have the name Baptist in it. But it's one of the largest contributors to the cooperative program of any church in our association. It's neat to be in a day when you don't have to have Baptist in your name, and you can still be Baptist. Supporting those in ministry. I applaud you for that, for looking outside your walls. Supporting your staff. Okay, here's the shameless plug. And guys, those of you on staff, you didn't know this was coming. Your pastor didn't know this was coming. We need to be taking care of our church staffs. I encourage you to do it. They give their life to serve for the gospel. So I encourage you to do it. I have no idea how you do in that. It's not my business. It is my business to encourage you to do well. Are you like Gaius? Or are you like Diotrephes? Let me be brief about him. I don't want to dwell on him. He puts himself above others. He wants to be first. Yeah. He's a gossip and a slanderer. Gossip. Nothing will undermine the gospel more quickly than gossip. Oh, we used to couch it in, "I have prayer concerns." And yes, I'm mocking that, because that's how we used to couch our gossip. Or slandering someone in ministry without any basis. There are enough false teachers out there that slander themselves. We don't need to be jumping on guys who are not false teachers and slandering them just because we may not agree with something we heard that they said. I heard from somebody who heard from somebody who heard from somebody who heard from somebody that he said, that's called slander. Dr. Fees was selfish and stingy. Says he refuses to welcome other believers. And he was vicious to anyone who opposed him. I once confronted he was a deacon. I was pastoring a church in Fort Walton. We had a church in our community that had a little conflict. And some people left that church. And they started coming to a group, started attending ours, and there was about five or six families that started coming. And I told our deacons, I said, "I will not go visit those people. I will not encourage them to leave their church. If they specifically ask for me, I will go and visit them. But you need to understand something. The first thing I'm going to ask them to do is to get on their knees, confess any sin that they may have been involved in, and try and reconcile with their pastor and their church." I knew the situation going on in their church, and there was no fault levied against the pastor. It was personality driven. One of the families did specifically ask me to come visit, and I did that very thing. I said, "You need to reconcile with your pastor. You need to reconcile with your church. You have too much of a history there." I got confronted by one of my deacons, a man who liked to control the environment everywhere, anywhere he was. And he came very strongly against me, and he says, you know, you have no right to tell them not to come to our church. I said, oh, I didn't tell them not to come to our church. And he began to spread a campaign against me about how I was running off people who were trying to join our church. I was so thankful that people who knew the truth stood up in my defense, and he ended up leaving the church, which was very sad. It broke my heart. I tried to get him to reconcile with me, and it wasn't successful. There are those who are going to be in control, and if anybody tries to oppose them, if anybody tries to come against them, they're going to do everything they can viciously to try and derail that person. That's a Diotrephes. Selfish, putting themselves above others, gossiping, slander. We don't want to be like Diotrephes. But what we do want to be is like Demetrius. We'd like to be like Gaius, hopefully. We'd like to be like Demetrius, the recipient of this letter. You see, he had a good reputation in and out of the church. In verse 12, it says, Demetrius is well spoken of by everyone, even by the truth himself. What is the truth? He's referred to the truth here multiple times. The truth, first of all, is the gospel. Secondly, the truth is the confirmation by the Holy Spirit with the apostle about what was going on. Demetrius is well spoken of by everyone. And his walk with, the second thing about him is not only did he have a good reputation, he had a walk with God that was evident to all. That's another trait that ought to be. Remember the old hymn, let others see Jesus in you? Keep telling the story, be faithful and true, let others see Jesus in you. When people look at your life and my life, do they see Christ? When they look at our lives, do they see that we walk with God? When they hear that you're a believer, do they say, yeah, I can see that? We have a pastor, a bivocational pastor in one of our churches in our association who owns a heavy equipment construction company as well. He's the co-owner of a heavy equipment construction company. We had to have some trees removed from our home last winter, and had a couple of diseased trees that we had to take down, and so I contracted with one of the local tree companies, and they came and they said, we're going to bring a crane in, and so you bring this crane in, and I see the name on the crane, well, I know who owns it. And so I step up to the crane operator, just greeting him, just saying, hey, do you need any water for today or anything? No, they came prepared, and I said, great. And I said, by the way, I know the owner of your company. Now, this man had never met me before, did not know anything of what I did. This man starts talking about the owner. Talking about, you know, when he, I don't know if you know, but he's a pastor. I said, he is. I've heard that. Said, yeah, he's a pastor. And you know what? When he told us that he was going to become a pastor, we said, yeah, we see that. We could see that. I said, so is he a pretty good boss? He says, oh, I don't know what he is like as a preacher. I don't go to his church. I have no idea what he's like. But if he's anything of a preacher, like he is the boss of our company, he's the real deal. I could see that. I thought, that's one of the greatest testimonies a guy could ever have. I immediately told him who I was and what I did. And as I walked back to my house, I've already got my phone out and I'm sending a text. Just talk to one of your employees. What an incredible testimony you give to him. Thank you for being so faithful. He immediately shot back, what's his name? Then I realized, I don't know. I didn't get his name. But you know what? Our walk with God ought to be evident. So, are you a Gaius? Are you Demetrius? Either one of those is incredible. It's great. It's evident that Jesus, the Jesus you profess, is the Jesus that you live out. Are you Diotrephes? I hope not. I pray not. Because if you are a Diotrephes, there's a real void in your life that needs to be filled. And that void can only be filled by Christ. I pray that today would be a day you'd say, you know what? I need that. This morning we're going to have an invitation time. During this invitation time, it's an opportunity for you to respond publicly. Maybe you're here and you've not connected with this church family. Let me tell you something. A lot of folks say, well, I'm going to join when the pastor's back. You know, as a pastor, anytime I was gone on a mission trip, and I used to do mission work in Haiti and a lot, and when I would be gone and people would join while I was gone, I didn't take that as an offense. I took it as a joy. I come back and say, wow, here's somebody who is connected even while I was gone, which says you're connecting to the church. You're not connecting to the pastor. So I guarantee your pastor would be thrilled. If you're here today and you've been wondering about connecting with this church through membership, maybe the day is the day. Maybe you're here today and the God you profess has not been really real. Or maybe you've never professed Him at all. And this is the day you need to settle that issue. Maybe you're here and you've just gotten kind of pulled away a little. Maybe you need to use the decision time just as a time to pray and say, God, just work in my life today. Or maybe someone comes to mind that's like Gaius or Demetrius, someone who's such a blessing to you. You know what I encourage you to do while we sing and while we pray? I encourage you just to thank God for that. Ask God to bless them and encourage them. Help them to stay faithful because the great example they give you. So as I pray, Missy is going to come and we're going to prepare to lead us in this time of invitation. Father, thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you, Father, that we can call you Father because of what Christ did for us. Thank you, Father, that we have people in our lives like Gaius and Demetrius, people who are such a great example. And Father, may we be just like them. May we be those who walk in the truth and have a great reputation, are hospitable, are encouraging, are those who live out the gospel. May that be said of us. So Father, this morning, if there's anyone here who needs to know that gospel, needs to know Christ personally, I pray you'd work in their life, and may they come and we publicly confess Christ. If there's anyone who needs to unite with this church body in carrying out the gospel to this community and around the world, that they would come and connect today. Father, if there's any decisions that need to be made in any realm, we'll give you the honor, we'll give you the glory. In Jesus' name. Stand with me if you would, as Missy leads us. You respond this morning if God's prompting.